The Kate Smith Show. How do you do? This is Ted Collins introducing America's most beloved personality. This program comes to you each day, Monday through Friday. Presented today by Scranton, America's greatest name in lease, and the Reader's Digest Condensed Book Club. Now, here she is, Kate Smith.
Hello, everybody. You know, sometimes I think we make a mistake looking to the future for solutions to current problems. There are times when it pays to remember the past. For example, in 1926, an Iowa inventor designed a car with a small wooden platform on the rear, complete with casters. To park, the man explained, all you have to do is to upend the car until it stood on the platform and then roll it right into the space. That's not such a bad idea for ending our current parking problems, is it? Especially with those little foreign cars that look like toys anyway. You could lift those up easy and put them on a little platform and roll them into a parking space. But enough of that foolishness for me. I better sing. Here it is. It's wonderful. Wonderful. It's marvelous. You should care. Important news from Reader's Digest. Now, for only 10 cents, you can get 5 brand new best-selling books expertly condensed into one handsome 576-page volume. You get A.J. Cronin's big nationwide bestseller, The Northern Light. It's the exciting story of a man's struggle against indecency and corruption, and 4 other fascinating new books are skillfully blended and condensed for only 10 cents. This generous offer is made to introduce you to the famous Reader's Digest Condensed Book Club. You'll be enrolled as a trial member, but there's no obligation. You may cancel at any time, and the trial book is yours to keep. The 5 books in this one volume would cost you over $19 if bought separately. So may I say, don't delay. Send your name and address with only 10 cents to Digest, Mutual Broadcasting System, New York 18, New York. That's Digest, Mutual Broadcasting System, New York 18, New York. Our guest today is Mr. Ray Kniff and his orchestra. Now, Ray is really a pop arranger, and he's really come up with some very wonderful arrangements by putting classical music to rhythm. Here he is now with Schubert's Serenade. I want you to hear how different it sounds. Okay, Ray.
All right.
Ladies, here's wonderful news for every woman who has ever wanted to own a lovely, luxurious lace dinner cloth, but hasn't wanted to pay high prices. Starting right now, you can buy a beautiful traditional or modern lace dinner cloth from the looms of Scranton at a full $5 saving. That's right. You can buy for yourself or as a much appreciated gift a 72 by 90 lace cloth, traditional or modern, for only $8.95. Cloths that were $13.95. They need no old-fashioned stretching either because they're the drip-dry kind. They're made with the miracle Dacron, and they have that famous Scranton stain-proof finish. So most spots simply sponge off. Better stores everywhere are featuring traditional Westminster and modern Overture by Scranton right now. But you'd better hurry, because the big $5 saving is in effect for a limited time only. Now, folks, you know, I was really delighted to read recently that the aroma of the old-fashioned donut was more than holding its own with the fragrance of exotic foreign dishes at a British food fair. Even the mouth-watering aroma of Indian curries and Spanish paella couldn't lure customers away from the American county fair exhibit and the sugary sinkers. Newsmen gathered in little groups on the ground floor of London's big Olympia Hall to watch the involved preparations of food from 11 European, African, and Asian nations. But they were far outnumbered by the crowd upstairs at the United States exhibit. There were several lines of people waiting, and the demand got so great as the word spread around that the exhibitors were afraid they might have to repeat their last year's technique when American hot dogs were the food fair favorite. They were so popular, said Mr. Malin of Nyack, New York, that we had to cut those dogs in half, serving a half a hot dog to each person in order to have enough for everyone to taste. Well, let's hope that that wasn't necessary with the donuts, even though, as Mr. Malin said, they were selling like hotcakes. Say, that's an idea. Maybe next year's exhibit will serve hotcakes, and they'll be selling like donuts. Who knows? Special meals served recently at two clubs in Stratford Springs, Connecticut, may have left some members wondering if they'd wandered into the wrong dining room. It seems the Fish and Game Club held a chicken barbecue, and the Rod and Gun Club held a clam bake. I wonder if the local golf club played tennis that day. I'll never know, unless somebody lets me know. You know, the unusually cold weather last winter that cut the size of the Florida citrus crop launched a new experimental program. Did you realize that? I didn't. Scientists are trying to develop a cold-resistant orange tree. There's one big danger in this, as I see it. Citrus trees that withstand low temperatures could put a real squeeze on the Florida growers because they, presumably, could be planted north of the Sunshine State. Now, is that good, or is it? Well, it seems that Laverne Walton of Clinton, North Carolina, may well be one of the few men in history to catch a fish with his car. He did it quite by accident when his automobile was forced off the road by a truck. The car went into a swamp, but he escaped unhurt, thank goodness. And when rescuers pulled the car out, there was a beautiful big fish thrashing about in the back seat. Say, I wonder if Laverne Walton is a descendant of that other Maybe he'll let me know. Our national sponsors today are Scranton, America's greatest name in lace, and Reader's Digest. Now, this is Kate Smith with the second part of our program. This is the time, folks, when I'd like to bring you some unusual news items that I've heard recently. A West Hartford, Connecticut man by the name of Roland Andrews, Jr., of course, wasn't expecting any trouble when he left a spool of recording tape in the back seat of his automobile. But he got it anyway, because the tape caught fire in his absence and burned up his car's upholstery. That's something now, isn't it? The answer is don't carry those kind of tapes in the back of your car. Now, Ray Caniff and his orchestra will play for us again. That is their second selection, right after this message of interest to you.
The growing population in most communities has increased the need for schools, and schools don't grow on trees. Schools and books and teachers cost a lot of you-know-what. Here's how you can get more, and get more from what you've got.
You can have the schools you want.
We can have the schools we need.
You can have the schools you want.
The results are guaranteed.
You can have the schools you want.
In our community.
If you want to do something about it.
If you want to do something about it, write to Better Schools, 9 East 40th Street, New York 16, New York.
Here now is Ray Caniff and his orchestra, and they're going to give us their rendition of Tchaikovsky's first piano concerto, in rhythm, I might add. Thank you, Ray Caniff. And now here's a message of interest to you folks.
This is Bing Crosby, folks. You know, it occurred to me that often the tragedy of a forest fire doesn't end with the blackened stumps and the homeless wildlife. Sometimes the first rains falling on scorched mountains send destructive mudrock floods roaring down to destroy all that lies in the way. I just wanted to bring that to your attention in a plea to ask you to not be careless in our forest with your matches and with your smokes and with your campfires. Did you know that 9 out of every 10 forest fires are caused by everyday human carelessness? Last year, those fires burned 10 million acres of valuable timber. It's an area larger than Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island combined. In fact, last year, there were over 400 forest fires a day. Every day, 360 of them could have been prevented. Now, let's save money that it costs to control fires and prevent the destruction of wildlife and timber and forage, scenery, and watersheds. Don't you want to do this for your government and for your country?
You know, in New York City, our monuments and museums are the pride of Manhattan. And we can also boast of many fine restaurants, theaters, and other amusement places that dazzle the out-of-towner. But to find the pulse of the city, well, for that you must go where the town folks themselves like to congregate. It's in the parks. That's right, it's in the parks that you'll meet the real New Yorker, especially in Central Park. As soon as the very first blade of grass pierces the heart of winter, everybody who possibly can troops out of doors. Old and young, rich and poor, they all come to revel in the grass as man will the wide world over. I guess my own favorite spot here in New York City is Central Park. That's right, and I like the best spot there, the zoo. There you meet people from every walk of life, slums, society, the arts. They're all represented as well as the plain homemaker. Now, any afternoon you might see a headline screen star or TV star or stage star alongside your next-door neighbor. When I'm lucky, I like to find a spot overlooking the seals in their private pool. There's always a fascinated audience watching them. Nearby also are the clowning brown bears, the tigers with jeweled yellow eyes, the friendly elephants and the stately peacocks. People love to gaze at them, but I like to sit where I can look at the gazers themselves. Laughing children and smiling grown-ups, shy young couples who, in this setting of flowers or fall colorings and fountains, somehow feel more closely drawn to each other. It was there not long ago that I saw what to me was the most beautiful sight in the world. No, it wasn't a young couple. It was a very old couple. They were walking arm in arm. She moved with tiny hesitating feet. His own steps were halting and brittle, but he held himself very straight as he escorted his lady up the steps, all heads turned in their direction. It was not only the old-world courtesy, like a breath from an old-fashioned garden, look in their faces. For in each brave, trembling gesture, you could see that these two people were deeply devoted to one another, and every face that looked at them reflected a little of their tenderness. I went away with a vision that day that I shall carry with me always as one of my treasures. For what more beautiful sight is there than an elderly couple who are still sweethearts? And it isn't strange that I should carry this impression from the very center of the most sophisticated city in the world, for the pulse of any city, village, or countryside all stem from the same great source, and that is the heart of the people in it. Do you agree with me?
I was a fool to fall.
Thanks for listening, and goodbye, folks.